Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Thank you for joining us this morning. As we begin a new year, there are many things we consider as we plan and set goals. I hope that improving your spiritual life is included in your plans for 2026. A couple of months ago, Reverend Dwayne Questenberry shared a message with us on specific spiritual growth, and I feel that it's a timely message for today. Here is Reverend Dwayne Questenberry with a sermon on spiritual growth.
I want to speak to you tonight about specific spiritual growth. I believe that specific spiritual growth is God's design for His children. There are lots of verses in the Bible that teach us that. Let me just give you some from the old and some from the new. Job 17:9 says, "He shall be stronger and stronger." That sounds like somebody that's making progress, doesn't it? Psalm 92:12 says, "The righteous shall flourish, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." How do they do that here? I don't know. But anyway, that's what the psalmist said. Well, it might have been another Lebanon. Ephesians 4:13 talks about growing and maturing unto the measure of the stature of Christ. That's quite a marker, isn't it? That's quite a goal, isn't it? Growing until we reach the measure of the stature of Christ. It's a wonderful goal. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says that your faith grows exceedingly. This is Paul writing to Thessalonian Christians. He said, you're growing. And Hebrews 6:1 says, let us go on unto perfection. We're studying that today. I wanted to preach on that tonight. In fact, the sermon's laying right there. You can be thankful I didn't bring it with me. It's 22 pages. I would have needed a little more than this tonight, I think, right? Let us go on into maturity. Let us grow spiritually. And then 2 Peter 1:5, beside all this, Peter writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, he says, add to your faith. So I think spiritual growth is God's design for His children. And I think that it is the Christian's desire. Peter also wrote, as newborn babes, desire the word of God that you may grow thereby. So it's our desire. Jesus talked about hungering and thirsting after righteousness so that you could be filled. He promised that He would answer that desire. So it's God's design. It's the Christian's desire. But I'll be honest with you, I think for some people it's a dilemma. It is their dilemma. They know where they are, and they see maybe where they want to be, and they see maybe where God wants them to be, but they're not there. There's a gap between where God wants them and where they are, and where they've been maybe for a while. And if that gap's very wide, of course, that can start to tend toward hypocrisy. And, you know, you can kind of get caught there maybe in spiritual paralysis where you're not where you ought to be. And maybe there's reasons why that is. Unbelief can be one of the factors possibly. Some people just say, oh, I just don't think I can live that. I can't live it. And then you get tired of trying. So there's unbelief. There's discouragement. There's maybe resignation that follows discouragement, where we say, you know what, I think I will just, I'll just adjust and I'll accept a substandard way of living. I don't think we were singing about that tonight. I love those songs. Thank you, Brother Joel. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. But sometimes people say, well, I'll just settle. And you know, any of those will result in a life that's really not much of a spiritual life at all. Amen? It's just not. It's no way to live. And you're caught in that spiritual paralysis, and you could almost be content to live there until you see someone, a fellow believer, a brother or sister, who is on the stretch for God, and they're growing, and you can see it, and they're just always talking about what God's showing them in His Word, and how God's answering prayer, and some new ground that God's helping them to take, and they're just always on the stretch and on the move for God. And you think, you know, I wish I could be like that. Well, our lesson tonight revolves around just such an individual. I love this guy. I'm talking about the Old Testament saint called Caleb. Caleb. Now, we first meet, you're in Joshua chapter 14, but we first meet Caleb back in Numbers 13 when he's age 40. Back then, he's a ruler of the tribe of Judah. He was selected, remember, as one of the 12 spies to go over into the land of Canaan and spy out, search out, look over the promised land. And so they went over, and in Numbers 13, they come back and they have a report for Moses and the congregation. And they tell them, you know, they said, we saw a land that flowed with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. It's fertile, it's lush, it's promising, it's beautiful. And they showed them some grapes, a cluster of grapes so massive that two of the men had to carry the cluster back to the camp. Oh, but they said, yes, it's a wonderful place, but there are walled cities there. Talked about one of those last night, didn't we? There are massive cities there, so well fortified, and there are giants there in the land. They are sons of Anak who live there. And they are strong and numerous and a tall people. We're not sure if we could go in and possess the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They were so big. And so 10 of the 12 started saying, I don't think we can do this, Moses. I'm not sure why you brought us here. I'm not sure what God was thinking, but I don't think we can do it. But two of them said, no, we're well able to do it. And it's two men that are in our story tonight, Joshua 14, Caleb and Joshua, who is now the leader of Israel in chapter 14 of Joshua. We can do it, they said. And you know, the people were so angry with them that they wanted to stone them. They wanted to kill them for having faith and believing that God could help them to move into the territory that God wanted them to go to. And so God, you know the story, brought judgment upon the people of Israel who were unbelieving. Upon the adult generation, God said, none of you will go into this land except for Caleb and Joshua, because they believed, but none of the rest of you will go into the land. You will wander around in the wilderness. You'll never get there. And so 45 years transpire between that first introduction to this wonderful man, Caleb. And so our Bibles are open to Joshua 14. They've arrived in the land of promise. And we're going to read a few verses here in this chapter 14 just to get the story in mind. We'll start at verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for an inheritance to them. Go down to verse 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, Caleb continues, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed Caleb, and gave unto him the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. In this story, Caleb realizes that it's God's will for him to go from where he is now living to where God has promised him that he could live. And Caleb waits until the land has been allotted and allocated and divided up among the tribes of Israel. And then as soon as it's appropriate, he comes to Moses or to Joshua, and we have this chapter 14 narrative. And in this request, in this bold request that Caleb makes, I see at least 7 specific steps that Caleb takes to go from where he is living to where God wants him to live. And I'm going to suggest to us tonight that if you and I will also implement these 7 specific steps in your life and in my life, that God will help us to make specific spiritual growth. Are you ready? Let's do it. The very first thing that I notice as I look at this story that Caleb did is Caleb practiced obedience. Obedience is so very important, church, to go where God wants to take you. I can't do that. I can't go where God wants me to go. I can't live where God wants me to live without obedience. And Caleb says his testimony, look at verse 8, his testimony is, I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's a good testimony. Could you say that? Could I say that? Brother Rob, I'm completely walking with the Lord. I've wholly followed the Lord my God. That's a good testimony. Now, Caleb not only made that testimony, but Moses, in verse 9, back some 45 years earlier, Moses bore witness to Caleb's obedience. He says, and it's right here recorded for us, he says in verse 9, Moses said, you have wholly followed the Lord. It's not only Caleb's testimony, but the leader of the nation of Israel is saying it about him. And then in verse 14, you have the inspired record of the word of God saying it about Caleb. Even God says it about Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord his God. You know, God took notice of Job, didn't he? Said to the Satan one day, said, have you noticed my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. And God gave a wonderful testimony of Job. Well, here the word of God gives a wonderful testimony about Caleb. Caleb's life was marked by obedience. Now, obedience isn't always easy. Amen? That's why some people who struggle to get established spiritually, they don't continue to walk with the Lord in obedience. They get saved, they have forgiveness of sin, but they discover obedience isn't always necessarily easy. Caleb found that out. Let me give you a couple of things here I noticed about Caleb's obedience. Caleb was obedient to God when obedience wasn't popular. You remember he comes back from spying out the land, and he and Joshua, two of the 12, say, "Let's go. God will help us to do it." The majority of those around him were disobedient. 10-2 was the ratio. And then the whole nation turns against them. Wasn't popular to obey God and go and live where God wanted them to live. Caleb was obedient to God when it wasn't popular. Caleb was obedient to God even when it meant persecution. I told you a while ago that when they persisted, "No, we can go and take the land," that the congregation picked up stones and were ready to kill them for their faith and their obedience to God. Sometimes obedience is not going to be popular, but sometimes it's going to mean persecution. Caleb was obedient when it required patience. Yeah, that's right. He survived the threat of stoning. And then this man, Caleb, walks around the wilderness outside the region of the promised land for 45 years, waiting on God's judgment on the people who were disobedient. While God judged those who said, he said, "You will never go into the land," Caleb wanders around and he lives a life of obedience, even when it requires great patience. He's obedient. I think that's a special kind of obedience. When we don't maybe receive God's immediate blessings for doing what he asks of us to do, and we say, "I don't know where God is, I don't know what God's up to, I don't know how this is going to work out for my good and for his glory, but I believe this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to obey, even if it requires great patience." Remember Caleb, 45 years, he walked with God faithfully, waiting on the promise of his obedience. He was faithful. Caleb was obedient even when he required perseverance. He lived for 45 years waiting, and now he comes before Joshua and the leadership of Israel. And I'm going to tell you tonight that that was key and foundational in Caleb experiencing going to where God wanted to take him. Obedience. Obedience. Are you settled in your heart that you're going to obey God? No matter what, come what may, "Lord, if I know it's your will, if you'll give me the grace, I'm going to walk with you." Somebody ought to say amen right there. Amen. The second thing I notice in this story about Caleb in making specific spiritual progress in his life is found in verse 6. It says here, when he comes before Joshua, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord God said to me and to you in Kadesh Barnea." Look at verse 9. It also lets us know that Caleb understood that it was God's will to give him Hebron or Kirjath Arba as a place of inheritance. He says, "Moses, swear on that day, saying, where your feet have walked, I'm going to give it to you and to your children forever because you've obeyed me." Understanding God's will is so important for making specific spiritual progress in our life. Caleb understood what God's will. He understood the next step. If you will experience spiritual growth, you must understand what the will of God is for your life. Because really, the very essence of spiritual progress is going from point A to point B. And I have to know how to get from point A to point B. The other day, we drove out from Cincinnati, Ohio on Tuesday morning, and I didn't worry about turn-by-turn directions. I just punched in, what is it, College Street, Hill Street? I don't know. Where are we? We're in Lebanon. I have the right address. I think I put Lebanon God's Missionary Church, and Google knows where you are. And it brought me right here. But you have to understand, you have to know how to get from where you are to where God wants you. You say, well, that's a puzzle sometimes for me. How, Brother Dwayne, can I know God's will for me? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have an answer for you. Let me give you a couple ways we can know God's will for our life. We can understand God's will. First of all, the Word of God will help us to know what His will is for us. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In other words, God's word shines the way for us. Are you walking in all the light? How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, right? Walking in the light, God's word gives us light. And then supplementing the word of God is the Spirit of God. John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "I will send the Spirit of truth, and He will come and He will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit of God will take the Word of God and He'll make application and He will guide us into truth. Now, let me caution you. Listen, the Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. So don't ever say, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but I just feel in my spirit that this is what God wants me to do." I will tell you, that's why the Bible says, test the spirits, try the spirits to see if the spirit you're saying is God's spirit is actually God's spirit. And the way we can know for sure that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God is it always, always, always agrees. Did I say always agrees with the Word of God? Never contradicts it. Never. The way we've got a lot of folk theology today, which is theology from a little church that we grew up in, and a Dolly Parton song, and Oprah Winfrey's philosophy, and that's our Christian folk theology in many lives in America today. That's right. I know that's silly, right? But that's how many people, that's what they believe. We passed a place the other day in Ohio. I used to work as a hospice chaplain, and I said to my wife, I said, I had a patient there one time. I wasn't violating HIPAA. I didn't tell her name or where she lived. It was a large trailer court. I said, I had a patient there one time. I said, she was a very confused lady. She was Church of God, Catholic, and pagan. As I visited her and did a spiritual assessment, that's what I picked up. She was Church of God, Catholic, and pagan. She was confused. Well, the Spirit of God will always agree with the Word of God. And He helps us to know. He guides us into all truth. And then spiritual leadership. That's right. God has provided for us pastors and teachers. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 3. He says to the Thessalonian Christians, "I sent Timothy to you that he would establish you in your faith." God gives us spiritual leaders who will guide us. And if our spiritual leaders are contradicting the Word of God, then we don't follow that spiritual leader. That's how you get into a cult. So the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the spiritual leadership that God places into our life will help us understand what the will of God is. Let me ask you tonight, do you want to know what God's will is? Kind of got on that last night, didn't we, a little bit? Maybe we don't want to know what God's will is. And so if I don't know, then I don't have to do it. Well, I don't think that's a good way to live. Caleb says, "I know what God's will is, and I want to walk in obedience to God's will." Number three, look at verse 12. I love this one. Number three is, he says in verse 12, "Now therefore give me this mountain." After he testifies to walking in obedience to God, and he says, this is what I understand God's will is, he says here in this verse, "Now therefore give me this mountain." He doesn't say any mountain. He doesn't say, whatever you think, Joshua, whatever you fellas think, whatever leftover land allotment you've got. He says, no, I know that this is God's will. God promised it to me, and I want to go where God's leading. I want to do what God's asking of me. Give me this mountain. And listen, in this matter of spiritual growth, you and I must take the step of being specific with God. Specificity, obedience, understanding, specificity. Be specific with God. Sometimes we don't know if we're growing or not because we're not even specifically praying for any certain direction. We pray a lot of help and bless prayers. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by help and bless? Not really specific. God, I pray you'll help and bless Pastor Goin. God, I pray you'll help and bless Pastor Walter. And I pray, God, you'll help and bless Pastor Sickler. And God, I pray you'll help and bless the church at Lebanon. God, I pray you'll help and bless. Well, God helps and blesses. That's who God is. That's what he does. But how do you know that God's helping and blessing? God, I pray that you'll give us some new believers in our church this month at our church. That's a specific prayer. God, I pray that you'll help me with that attitude that I've got. That covetous spirit that's in my heart where I'm desiring things that I believe would take me away from you. God, I'm praying that you'll help me with that covetous spirit. God, I'm praying you'll help me with that bitterness that I'm tempted, that root of bitterness that's trying to spring up, Lord. You know, I feel like those people are doing me wrong and that relationship is really hurting me. And so, God, I'm praying that you will deliver me, that, Lord, you'll give me grace to love them and forgive them. And that's specific. Are you praying? Am I praying specifically about definite things that we can point to and say, God did this? Prayer journals help with that, don't they? Prayer journals are a wonderful thing. I don't do it all the time. I've done it some, but it's a wonderful thing to be able to look back over a prayer journal and say, God answered that prayer, and God answered that prayer, and God's going to answer that prayer. Specificity. You and I need to be specific with God if we're going to experience definite spiritual progress in our life. Are there anything specific? Is there anything specifically that you're asking God for this week? Amen. Well, if not, it's Thursday night. Start now. Start tonight. Be specific with God.
You've been listening to a message shared by Reverend Dwayne Questenberry during the revival meetings back in October. Please join us again next week for the conclusion of this message. Now, if you have any questions about this message or you'd like to talk with someone about your relationship with God, give us a call at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be happy to talk with you on the phone or schedule a time when we can sit down and meet with you in person. We'd love to have you join us in worshiping our Lord at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30, morning worship at 10:30, and then an evening worship service at 6 o'clock this evening. We also have a prayer and praise service on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. For more information about the church and other upcoming events, visit our website at lebanongmc.com, where you can also watch the services live. You can also follow us on social media. Look for Lebanon God's Missionary Church on Facebook or Instagram. I invite you to join us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.